an absolute tragedy in Orlando, a massacre. How do we respond as followers of Jesus?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is there anything for those watching at home, the millions that are watching this, that want to help? Is there anything that you want to tell them? Anything you want to tell the world right now? Anything that you need to get through this?
Keep praying. I'm not a very religious person or whatever. Whatever religion you are, no matter what you believe, just send it whatever our way. We all need it. We all need something. We all need that hope. Just keep praying for us. We all need it.
Boy, that's heartbreaking to hear. That brings it home in terms of hearing that voice, a man who is at the nightclub, presumably a gay man who is at the nightclub when the massacre took place. This is Michael Brown. Today's broadcast in the aftermath of this tragedy is a very important broadcast. There are many important things we want to share with each of you and convey to you. I'll be taking some calls at some point. The number to call away in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you're listening and you're part of the LGBT community or consider yourself a straight ally and feel that Christians are somehow complicit in this, that Christians standing against redefining marriage or things like that, that Christians have somehow created an atmosphere that gave way to this massacre, feel free to call. I categorically differ with that, but I want to hear from you, and I want my listening audience to hear from you. The number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. 30 minutes from now, I know that not all of you will be able to listen, but 30 minutes from now, I'll be bringing a young woman on the air with us. She's part of our Fire School of Ministry team. She is involved in worship and music. She's married to one of the students in our school of ministry. And Tammy, who will be joining me in a little under 30 minutes, lived for years in that very community, lived a lesbian, bisexual lifestyle before she knew the Lord and before the Lord delivered her out of that. And she used to perform in that very club. When she got the word, as we all did early Sunday, when she got word as to what had happened, she texted me. She was in a state of shock because she felt certain that friends of hers, old friends of hers, were there and were killed. And if you're unable to listen on radio, you can listen on the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. On your cell phone, your tablet, your computer, just click on Listen Live, and you'll be able to continue to listen to Tammy when she comes on a few minutes from now, 27 or so minutes from now, or you'll be able to listen later on the website. But it's important you hear her perspective as someone who lived in that community and performed in that very nightclub and presumably knew some of the people who were killed. I also want to play a clip in a moment from a pastor in Arizona who is saying it's good news that these people were killed because it's that many less pedophiles and perverts out there. On every level, we need to distance ourselves from that type of rhetoric, distance ourselves from that type of horrific, unchristian, ungodly, uncompassionate, unchristlike rhetoric and continue to set a Christ-like example for the world. We also know what's coming, friends. We know what's coming. Christians will be blamed. This has often happened in history. Calamity happens. Christians get blamed. We're seeing it already. If you didn't read my article on this, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it in the latest article, Right and Wrong Reactions to the Orlando Massacre. A lot to share, a lot to talk about today on The Line of Fire.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire as we talk about a Christian response to the Orlando massacre. There's so many issues here. First, there's the tragic loss of life. The lives affected forever. The families affected forever. That's the first and foremost issue, and we grieve with those who grieve. Secondly, there's the issue of Islamic terrorism, something that cannot be denied, something that cannot be downplayed, something that cannot be minimized. Let's just step back and think. Let's look right now in America since 9/11. Let's think about it. Look at major attacks. Where have they occurred? When have they occurred? And this common threat of Islamic terror. Oh, yeah, we have different shootings, tragic shootings that take place that can't be attributed to a specific religion or ideology. And even trying to connect Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, to Christianity is completely misguided. There was nothing Christian about him. So we've had other shootings, but this is the worst mass shooting in our history. Now you look back to San Bernardino. Now you look back to the Boston Marathon. We see this steady pattern, the terrorist attacks in France, ongoing in Israel, other parts of the world. It's Muslims killing others. In this case, Muslims killing gays and lesbians. In other cases, Muslims killing Christians. In other cases, Muslims killing other Muslims. And on it goes. Whether this is the attitude of Islam worldwide, we'll play some clips that deny that. It cannot be denied that this is the mindset of radical Islam quite consistently. We have that issue. We have the issue of, well, they were homosexual. Does that mean they deserve to die? And we should have a different reaction than, say, if it was children killed in a school? Well, let me say this, and I'm going to come back to each of these points over the course of the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to weigh in. For sure, if I heard about the slaughter of civilians, not talking about an act of war in the midst of a war conflict or something like that, but if I heard about any slaughter, if it was adults at a baseball game, adults in a business meeting, adults at a heterosexual strip club, adults at a gay club, if I compared my reaction to that versus my reaction, say, to Sandy Hook, when elementary school students were massacred by a gunman, I think all of us are torn up even more when it's little children. But when it comes to human beings, it's human beings. And did you go asking when you heard about San Bernardino, well, was anyone there living in adultery? Because according to the Bible, there should be a death penalty. Was anyone there maybe a Hindu idol worshiper? And they should? No, because those were human beings who died. That's the same attitude, the same reaction we have. God forbid we have any different reaction, the fact that it was gays and lesbians in a gay club. But sadly, there are some voices, and they have some following on the internet, and people see what they have to say, and I'm already being sent these clips. Well, what about people like this? You have the fanatical Westboro Baptist folks, I mean, a professing church of 20, 30 people maybe, I don't know, absolutely tiny, and their voice is already out there. They're already celebrating this, and they're singing a mock song, Shooters Keep Coming Around, His Body's Still in Club. And they use the fag word. God sent the shooter to Orlando Fag Club. And they've got, these horrific posts. And people think, well, that's Christianity. That's nothing to do with Christianity. It's nothing to do with the gospel. It's nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. Then Pastor Steven Anderson in Phoenix, now he's got a militant anti-Jewish video that's gone viral that at some point I think I'm going to respond to. He is a radical King James Version only proponent. You may love the King James. Great. I deeply admire it. And you may love the King James and use it. That's fine. But there is this radical, almost cult-like King James only group. And he's part of that. But listen to what he had to say. Joey, clip number 8. Just brace yourself. These are ugly words. Some of what he says about gun control or hate speech, yeah, I understand where he's coming from and agree with some of it. But listen to what he has to say. Clip number 8.
Here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did.
Yeah, he's correct that Bible-believing Christians will be attacked, but he is not one of them. Well, God knows his soul where he stands, but he is not representing Bible-believing Christianity with those horrific comments. And yes, he's right that this is going to be politicized into gun control issues. Already the president's brought that up, and we'll play some clips for you. But I utterly repudiate his ugly statements and sentiments, utterly to the core, repudiate what he had to say. Oh, it's good news because it's 50 less pedophiles and perverts. No, that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of God. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Those are the very people Jesus would be looking for. And by the way, the vast majority of gays and lesbians are not pedophiles. And every gay man I've ever discussed the issue with, we were talking about standards and morality or things like that, they were utterly repulsed by the idea of pedophilia as well. Oh, yeah, I'm aware that percentage-wise, you have more same-sex pedophilia than opposite-sex pedophilia, percentage-wise, if you compare the homosexual population to heterosexual. But in terms of numerically, you've got far, 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 far more heterosexuals who are pedophiles. And what about the adulterers in the churches? And what about the people committing other sin in the churches? Come on. What about the men into pornography in the churches and committing adultery in their hearts? Oh, boy. What does God say in Ezekiel 18 and Ezekiel 33? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they repent and live. That's God's heart. God is grieved over human sin, and he sent Jesus to save us from our sins and had mercy on us in our sins. And because of the mercy extended to us, Jesus died for me when he foresaw me as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, proud rebel, full of lust, full of pride, stole money from my own father. That's when Jesus died for me. And because he laid down his life for us, we lay down our lives one for another, and we lay down our lives to reach a lost and dying world. One more clip, clip number 9, Stephen Anderson. Let's listen to what he says.
I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place, because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed. Because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple.
All right, plain and simple, Pastor. He put the death penalty on adultery. He put the death penalty on Sabbath breaking. He put the death penalty under the Sinai Covenant on rebellious, disobedient children or someone who would curse their mother and father. And what does Jesus teach us about adultery? It can be in the heart as well as in the act. And then what does Paul write in Romans 1? He gives a list of sins that he says are worthy of death. And included in those sins are envy and gossip. And 1 Peter 4 tells us judgment begins with the house of the Lord. We better get on our faces and repent of our own sins. Yes, homosexual practice is sinful in God's sight. There are plenty of other things sinful in God's sight, and plenty of them go on in the church. We need to repent and ask God for mercy. If we want to be glad that a shooter shot up a gay club, look out, churches, because a lot of shooters are going to come our way. Come on, wake up. Wake up. I know you repudiate those comments, but I need to do it as loudly and clearly as I can.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You have to be straight with the American people. When you see an act of war like this committed against us, don't tell me about gun control. Tell me about how we're going to defeat the people who are motivating these terrorists to kill innocent Americans on our own soil to begin with.
All right, that was John Bolton speaking. And yeah, he's right. When you see an act of war, don't tell me about gun control. Listen to what President Obama had to say. We'll go to clip number 3 as President Obama immediately, as expected, draws attention to the issue of guns.
Today marks the most deadly shooting in American history. The shooter was apparently armed with a handgun and a powerful assault rifle. This massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon that lets them shoot people in a school or in a house of worship or a movie theater or in a nightclub. And we have to decide if that's the kind of country we want to be. And to actively do nothing is a decision as well.
I do believe, on a certain level, we have a gun problem in America, but not the way the president says it. So we knew the moment we all heard the news of this. For me, it was late morning Sunday. I had not had a free day or a rest day for some time. So I was up very late Saturday night, as I normally do my writing and prayer study very late at night. And I slept in Sunday morning. When I woke up, this was the first thing that I saw mid-morning that it had happened. And of course, you're shocked and you want to immediately put yourself in a position of empathy and identification with those attacked and with the pain and grief people are experiencing. But you know immediately this is going to play out in different ways. You're going to get these crazy voices, ostensibly Christian, who say, well, they deserved it. And again, I want to categorically repudiate those voices. And then you're going to have those that are going to use this to stop people like me from speaking out against redefining marriage and things like that. And they're going to make these ridiculous claims that somehow we created an atmosphere to make this happen. So think of it. Christians loving their neighbors, Christians walking in integrity, Christians showing genuine care for those who identify as LGBT, but saying, hey, look, you're our neighbors, you're our friends, but we don't believe in redefining marriage. We don't believe God made a man to be with a man. That now we're going to be blamed for creating an atmosphere in which a radical Muslim does what radical Muslims do. Kills gays and lesbians, among others. What kind of logic is that? So you knew that's going to come up, and you knew the gun control issue's going to come up. Before I come back to issues about guns and things like that, and we'll do a whole show where we talk about that. Let me just say briefly, the reason I say we do have a gun problem is because this guy, although he had been investigated by the FBI twice or maybe three times, was still able to go and purchase guns legally. Something is wrong with the system somewhere. And when our founding fathers wanted to assure our right to bear arms and be able to form a militia and things like that, the question is, what were they envisioning? And have things gotten out of control? No, the fact is this happened in a gun-free zone. And if it hadn't been a gun-free zone, the murderer might not have tried it there. And he probably would have, if he did, he would have been shot down a lot quicker. And one of my colleagues pointed out that if you take out the three cities, what is it, maybe L.A., New York, and Chicago, I think, that have some of the strictest gun control laws, take those cities out, that our gun violence drops dramatically, dramatically, dramatically. So that's a whole other issue. But you know this is going to be politicized. And then you also know that it's going to be politicized between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And probably in my mind, Donald Trump will get a boost from it because of his strong line about Muslim immigration and his willingness to head on confront radical Islamic terrorism, at least verbally thus far. But listen to the perceptions about how we're being looked at. We'll grab clip number 10. This is one of the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur. And listen to what he has to say, because he is speaking for many Americans who see things in the same very dangerous way. Listen to him.
His dad says, no, it wasn't because of religion. It was because he saw two gay guys kissing in Miami and he hated them. Yeah, but why did he hate them? He hated them because his religion told him to hate them. So, unfortunately, all the religions of the book, man shall not lie with a man, etc. So, Christians will turn around and go, no, yeah, yeah, we hate the gays, but we don't kill them. Oh, how freaking merciful of you. No, it is the culture that's the problem. So that what the dad is missing is, in some ways, what he's saying is worse, because we taught him that culture. So our culture, whether it's Christian, Muslim, Jewish, the people of the book, etc., we said, don't tolerate the gays, don't tolerate the gays, don't. And then we're going to be surprised when someone acts out violently. No, we said, no, discriminate against them, but in other ways. Don't let them get married, don't do this, don't do that. So, no. You don't get to say, we don't like gays, but we didn't like them in, not, I didn't tell you to do that, I told you to do other things.
Okay, I understand his perspective. I understand where he's coming from. I genuinely do. I understand how he sees things. But when you practice a faith that does not advocate violence, when you practice a faith that advocates following the example of Jesus who laid his life down for sinners, when you practice a faith that says overcome evil with good, overcome hatred with love, bless those who curse you, listening to that faith, that teaching for a million years, you will never think, oh, I should therefore go out and kill homosexuals. No. But listening to radical Islam, you better believe you think you should kill them and a whole lot of other people. And radical Islam kills a whole lot more Christians than it does gays. And of course, it kills a whole lot more Muslims than it kills Christians. These are realities. It's murderous. Whereas for anyone, here, listen, anybody who's listened to me over any length of time, read my three books that relate to these issues, A Queer Thing Happened to America, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Can You Be Gay and Christian, and even a collection of articles in the line of fire, I deal with a lot of these issues. And then read the articles, other articles, hundreds of articles I've written, and then listen to radio archives where I've addressed these, or listen to messages I've preached, and you will come away with a greater love for those who identify as LGBT. You will come away with a greater heart to see them come into the knowledge of God and the freedom of God and the wholeness of God. And you will absolutely be one of those who would give your life to save them physically if someone was trying to kill them. So to confuse these two things is to fundamentally misunderstand the complete difference between these two faiths, between the gospel faith and at least radical Islamic faith, if not Islam in general. And the clip I played right at the beginning of the broadcast, here's someone hurting, mourning, not a religious person, but he's not repudiating God and all religion. He's saying, just send prayers our way because we need help and we need hope. What a time for the love of God to shine through Christians for a community that is hurting a lot of pain right now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, ultimately, we're not just dealing with a massacre or a statistic, the worst mass shooting in American history. We're dealing with people whose lives were cut short, people loved by God, created in the image of God, and yet fallen, in need of the redemption and hope that comes through Jesus, in need of the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. We're talking about family members, friends, different people who are terribly wounded, and others wounded and traumatized by the loss of family members and friends. And this is what we need to bring things back to. Michael Brown, so glad you could join me today on the Line of Fire. I'm sitting here with Tammy Shea. And Tammy, do you remember when we first met in Orlando, what year it was?
Oh, man. I believe it was 2012, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
As I think about the events around it, I think around 2012. And you had just started putting out testimonies on video.
Yeah.
And there was one young man that was part of the ministry there that had come out of homosexuality, and his video was from homosexuality to holiness.
Yes.
And suddenly you were getting death threats and all this
stuff
coming. So there's this crazy reaction. And then I found out that there were a number of people that had come out of homosexuality or bisexuality that were part of that ministry.
Yes.
And it was just part of salvation and discipleship. And that includes you. So Tammy, there you were in Orlando. You're directly connected with the club where the shooting took place. But first, your own story. How is it that you went that direction in life? And how did the Lord bring you out of it?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, loved by my parents, loved the Lord, had real encounters with Jesus at a really young age. But by the age of 18, I really struggled with sin. I struggled with wanting sin and wanting Jesus. And I never heard a radical message. I never heard that I could really give myself to Jesus. And honestly, I didn't feel a sense of community within the church. I always felt like an outsider.
Mm.
So by the time I was 18, I got introduced to the gay community and fell in love with these people.
Why?
They brought me in. I finally felt, for the first time since I had moved here when I was 7 years old from the Philippines, like I finally had a community again, which is crazy to me. I mean, I spent 11 years looking for community and never found it in the church or even outside of the church. I only found it within the gay community.
What is it that makes those that refer to, quote, the gay community? I mean, as diverse as the non-gay community.
Right.
But what is it that gives that special sense of community somehow?
I think there's just this camaraderie between each other, we are all dealing with something that the world doesn't understand, and we're joining in together. I mean, even though there were so many things wrong with the community, and, you know, looking back now, it wasn't like there was this beauty around the community. There was a lot of backstabbing. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of pain. But there was still this feeling of acceptance that I'd never found anywhere else.
All right, but you found it as a heterosexual.
I did. And it was pretty crazy because I didn't claim to be gay, but someone, one of my best friends actually said to me, he said, you know, you're going to be gay. He was a homosexual. And I was like, no, I won't. And, we were in the vehicle with another female who was a lesbian. And she said, well, you're just like me. I came into this thinking I was straight, and look at me now. And she was a total butch lesbian. And I said, no way, there's no way. And within a very short period of time, my heart began to really turn to saying, okay, I'm bisexual. And then to a point where, I mean, there was things that happened within that journey, being really hurt by someone, where I finally said, okay, I am gay. And I embraced that lifestyle. I, you know, fully gave myself to that lifestyle, fully.
And how long?
It was several years, but it wasn't long because the Lord broke in quite early, which I'm so thankful for, because I know had I stayed in that lifestyle, you know, not because of homosexuality, but for other reasons, I would have been dead or in jail.
All right. I want to hear the other side of the story and then what connects you directly to the gay club where
Absolutely.
The shooting took place. We'll be right back.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is there anything for those watching at home, the millions that are watching this, that want to help? Is there anything that you want to tell them? Anything you want to tell the world right now? Anything that you need to get through this?
Keep praying. I'm not a very religious person or whatever. Whatever religion you are, no matter what you believe, just send it whatever our way. We all need it. We all need something. We all need that hope. Just keep praying for us. We all need it.
This is Michael Brown. We played that clip at the beginning of the broadcast, but wanted to play it again because I'm sitting here with Tammy Shea, who knows intimately what happened in that gay bar in Orlando, and for a couple of years in her life identified fully as a lesbian, was part of that whole night scene, was part of a group that performed there, now happily married to a student in our ministry school and serving the Lord with all our heart and being a great blessing to our community. But Tammy, I don't know that individual, and I have no connection with the gay subculture or nightclubs or anything like that. I sit here tearing up listening to it. What strikes you when you hear those words?
Desperation, honestly. I think right now, more than ever, there is an open door. You know, I'm reaching out to my gay friends right now, and I'm seeing the opening there. You know, I haven't talked to some of them in years, and the door is just being flung wide open. So honestly, I think there's desperation and the need for hope. I mean, he said it in there, we just need hope, you know?
What strikes me is this is the perfect time for him to renounce all religion. This is the perfect time for him to say, look at what Muslims have done to us, and you Christians are not much better. You hate us. Instead, he's saying we need hope and send up a prayer. So, I mean, that's humanity. That's a hurting human being.
Yeah.
So Tammy, you found what you felt was community in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified community. You're a singer. You've been singing since you were a young girl, talented musically. You go to become bisexual and then fully identify as lesbian. Do you think there are other women from your own experience, just I don't mean statistically or what you've read, but yeah, the people that you knew during those years, there are other women, say, who identify as lesbian, and a large part of it is being hurt in a heterosexual relationship or abused by a man or something?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of men and women who, you know, I think we can, you know, and this is totally off the record. This is just my feeling. I feel like a lot of people say, I was born this way, because maybe after some sort of trauma, they can fool themselves to believe.
And this is who I really am now.
Who I really am. Right, because if I were to look back at my childhood, I could look at different things at my childhood and say, well, maybe I was born gay because I remember having this thought or I remember having these feelings. You know, I was thinking about that on the way here and I was like, man, I could say that. I could say I was born gay because there were little things as a young kid that I remember thinking and I thought, that's odd that I would think that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, yes, there are a lot of people that I feel go towards that way after a hurt, after a pain, whether it's a relationship or a father or a mother. But I also think that there's a lot of people who take those things and link them to their childhood based on how they feel.
Got it. So before we talk about how the Lord transformed your life, I want to talk about the involvement that you had. And before we go any further, God only knows who's going to listen to this and what formats this is going to get out. But speak to those that I know you're trying to reach out. You put a blog out and you've been trying to reach out individually to find out did any of your old friends get killed or wounded or anything like that. But just speak openly from your heart to those that would identify with the gay community and that are especially grieving all over America today. Just speak from your heart to them.
You know, through the years, I can't tell you how many people have come to me through me preaching or singing and sharing my testimony and could come to me and said, I am struggling or I have struggled and I want to come out of this. What can you tell me? What can you say to me? And the one thing I would say is just be so accountable. I know that seems so weird and just, how do I do that? For me, when I came out of the homosexual lifestyle, when I wanted freedom, I had to find a group of people. Really, they found me and pursued my heart. But those people is just coming after me in love changed me. So I would say to you, I understand the pain. I understand the hurt that you're going through. I really do. And I want to encourage you to go after people that you can be accountable to, that you can relate to, that you can just share your struggles with in a continual manner, because that is what has set apart the ones that I know have succeeded in this journey and the ones that haven't. The ones that haven't are the ones that have stayed silent in their struggle. Do not stay silent. Get accountable. Get involved. It will change you.
And let's put Jesus in the middle of this.
Oh, absolutely.
If you take Jesus out of this, you've got people trying and getting frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe getting more discouraged. But the larger issue is not heterosexuality or homosexuality. It's that we're lost and separated from God.
Yeah.
What happened when you reconnected to Jesus, but in a deeper way than you had as a child? What happened in terms of hope, forgiveness, freedom? What happened on the inside of you?
Oh, man. The month before I gave my life to Jesus, I broke up with my girlfriend. I just knew that something was shifting. And when I gave my life to Jesus that night, I actually went to different friends' houses that I was when I was leaving the community. And I had them write me these letters. And I still have them to this day. I was talking to one of them yesterday. I said, "Do you remember that letter you wrote me?" And she said, "Yes, absolutely. I love you," and all those different things. But they, in those letters, you can see the desperation for something.
What did you ask them to write?
Goodbye letters to me. I knew I was giving my life to Jesus night. And they wrote me letters. And this one in particular, the things that she wrote, how she just wanted someone to know her, to see her, to be noticed, to be loved. And to this day, I know that cry of her heart is not fulfilled. But when I gave my life to Jesus, everything that I had been looking for in a man, in a woman, felt completely satisfied. I was able to not only come out of homosexuality, but quit meth cold turkey. Mm. I mean, life changed for me in an instant. Was it difficult after that? Absolutely. It was a hard, hard journey. It was not easy for me. It was not. But it was so rewarding. It was so rewarding. I finally found a place where I belonged, a place where I fit. Even though, yes, in the community, I found a sense of camaraderie and a love. It was completely different than this light, this peace, this joy and hope for my future. Hope that I had never known before and something that I had looked for since I was a little girl.
Mm. And when you had kind of the instant deliverance and freedom and then the struggles of walking it out, at what point did that become an old way of life and you were now thoroughly enjoying the new way of life and the struggles were thing of the past?
Well, you know, I really struggled with when I would see certain things that I had been attracted to in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That was a struggle for me because I would see someone and it would trigger something.
Yeah.
And I would really have to just die to those things and say, "Jesus, I submit my mind to you.
Yeah.
I give you my mind." But I would say it was July of 2007. I gave my life to Jesus in September of 2006. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, "Heal me, God. Heal me from my drug addiction, from desiring to use drugs, from just all the longings that I was having." And it was a radical, radical day in July of 2007 where I had a dream and I woke up and had never been the same.
Mm. Yeah, and somebody can relate. You have that breakthrough and then it's almost like reality hits again. But then you discover Jesus greater than drug addiction.
Yeah.
Greater than sexual desires.
Absolutely.
Greater than romantic attractions. You're happily married now. Just got a minute. I'm sure you could talk for hours. How is this different than any relationship you had before?
I don't even know where to begin. I'm so in love with my husband. I just feel overwhelmed thinking about it. He has just undone my heart with every belief I've had of what it means to be loved by someone. He loves so selflessly. He loves continuously. And, you know, even in me working through different struggles, he's just so forgiving and so gentle with me. And Christ is the center of it all, our decisions, our future. And honestly, it's such an adventure. You know, it's not like our focus is so on just each other. It's on so many other things, which, you know, advancing his kingdom and making him known. And it's just, it's completely different. Yeah. Christ being the center is different.
Yeah, Christ being the center and man and woman coming together as one, as God intended it. All right, friends, we're going to focus right back on Orlando, but there is hope in a dark day. The day of pain, in Jesus, there's always hope.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As I sit here with Tammy Shea, part of our ministry team at Forest School of Ministry, and married to one of our students in the school, it's one of these tearing up interviews as we relate to the pain of those killed, wounded, losing family members and friends in the massacre at the gay nightclub in Orlando, and talk about life in Jesus. So, Tammy, I had incorrectly said that you performed in that very club. Your group performed, but you missed the performance. You had performed in another gay club there. But so had you been to that club yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I probably spent two or three nights a week at that club.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you can give an insight that nobody else I know can give. What was... when you talk about the camaraderie or community or something like that, I was never into the clubbing scene because I got saved at 16. I was a heavy drug user, but I got saved at 16, so I was never in the clubs. So I don't even know what the clubbing scene is like, be it straight club or hanging out at the bar or a heterosexual strip club, let alone a gay club. But what would you say was kind of the, what made it more than just a place either to get high or to pick someone up like might happen at other clubs? What made it unique for the gay community in Orlando?
I think because the gay community is not as large as, you know, a heterosexual community or whatever. So when you would go to a gay club and you were very involved in the gay club, you knew so many people. You just knew everyone. So it felt like a homecoming every time you went. So I think that was the big thing, that everybody just felt so close because when you walked in, you knew each other.
Got it. And when you got word, when you had heard what happened, you were kind of in a state of shock.
Oh, yeah. I can't even begin to express. I felt my body lose its weight. I felt shocked. I texted you right away and said, I don't even know what to do right now. I felt like should I fly to Orlando? What should I do? And then I started researching my friends, trying to see, has anyone been shot? Has anyone been killed? I was in a state of panic.
Yeah. Boy. So, Tammy, when the group you used to perform with, what did you do?
Well, the group was made up of mostly drag queens and club kids. And
what's a club kid?
A club kid is it's someone who dresses up as extravagantly as a drag queen, except a lot of times they use their drag queens typically dress up just as women.
Right.
Club kids have just this crazy way of dressing up. They dress up in all kinds of, it's really hard to explain.
So was that you?
No. I was just a female, I guess you could call me a female club kid, but yeah, I didn't dress up as a man. I just dressed as extreme like a drag queen.
Got it. Okay.
So
yeah, I can't even wrap my mind around this. So your group performed there.
Yes.
You performed with the group elsewhere, but then you had an injury and you ended up missing your performance there.
I missed my performance at a different club. I actually broke my foot right before my first performance, which I believe was the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And was in a wheelchair for several months after that.
And then how is it then you were at that point heavy drug user, you were in a lesbian relationship. At this point, you fully identified as lesbian. You didn't even identify as bisexual anymore. That's how much your mindset and ideology had shifted. but you had known Jesus as a child, just not deeply enough. How did he get hold of you?
Well, what happened was on February 14, 2006, I was a drug dealer at that time, and I was raided by the DEA, and it shook me up. Mm. And it was right after I had dropped a friend off at the hospital. He died within a month, I believe, from complications with HIV, pneumonia, all these different things. And soon after that, everything kind of just was, it was a mess. And within those months, I began to feel the Lord pursuing me. And August of that year, I said, Jesus, if you're real, show me. And from August to September, I cannot explain to you the divine encounters I was having with the Lord in the middle of drug houses, in the middle of just chatting with my gay friends about Jesus, talking to Jesus and saying, put your fire in me. I was a full-blown addict. I was a lesbian. I was saying, put your fire in me. I didn't even know what that meant. And I was saying that. I have journal entries saying, put your fire in me. Mm. I mean, I was like, what does that even mean? And so on September 2nd of 2006 was when I gave my life to Jesus in a small prayer room with two ladies. And I was just ready. I just knew that I was going to say yes to Jesus on that day.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I remember before God saved my wife, Nancy, a hardcore Jewish atheist, had been an atheist from around 8. We met when she was 19. But right before she got saved, she broke up with a guy she had been with, you know, a long-term relationship. She stopped doing drugs. She stopped smoking cigarettes. It's like outwardly got cleaned up, and then God saved her.
Yeah.
And somehow this divine preparation in the heart. Tammy, do you feel that with the stance Christians have taken, saying that we don't believe marriage should be redefined, that marriage is a union of one man and one woman, and that gays and lesbians often look at us as haters? I don't think it's just rhetoric. I think many feel we actually hate them.
Absolutely.
Because we don't honor and respect their relationships in their eyes. Is there room for us to come with a message of the love of God?
Absolutely. I believe that as much as I think we're being faced with homosexuals hate Christians, there are homosexuals that don't feel that way. And my friends are some of those people. You know, I was very clear with a friend of mine who I was just chatting with this morning. And I told her, don't get married to this woman. I just expressed this thing with her. And even now, we're still friends. She's texting me or messaging me online, and we're talking. So absolutely, I think that they're, yeah.
And look, if we care, then we're not putting on an act when we express that care. And if someone cuts us, we should bleed love. And I know there'll be hostility towards us outwardly. I saw one gay activist in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was saying to Franklin Graham and Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, you know, F your prayers and, you know, just, you know, change your views and things like that. I know those views are going to be out there, but we'll overcome that hatred towards us and that feeling that that belief that we hate others by demonstrating the love of God. And Tammy, your life testimony shined to many. Are there words to a song that specifically express your heart of love for God or his love for you that come to mind?
I mean, the first song that comes to mind is, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," because...
Just sing it. We've got a few minutes, a few seconds left, but just sing it to the Lord.
Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me.
All right, friends, the beautiful Lord, that's the one that we focus on. To all those listening, hurting and pain right now, gay and lesbian community, look to Jesus. He's your hope. He's your salvation. Everything you need is found in Him. My bottom line today, America is hurting. America torn, divided, and pain. Jesus is our hope. An absolute tragedy in Orlando. A massacre. How do we respond as followers of Jesus?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the face of hate and violence, we will love one another. We will not give in to fear or turn against each other. Instead, we will stand united as Americans to protect our people and defend our nation and to take action against those who threaten us.
Those are the words of our president, which I appreciate and yet have some very serious questions about. This is Michael Brown. I know many of you just tuning in now, but the last half hour I had an extraordinary interview with Tammy Shea, whose group performed at that very bar that was shot up by the Islamic terrorist early Sunday morning. She used to go there two or three nights a week. She has friends that went there, perhaps at least one of whom was killed. She shared her own story and how the Lord took her out and transformed her life. But later today, that'll be on our website, AskDrBrown.org, or actually just go to lineoffireradio.com, lineoffireradio.com. Click on that for the latest broadcast. You'll be able to listen to all of it. When I got word about this, normally I'd be up and watching what's happening in the news and things at, you know, 2, 3 in the morning. I don't mean I'm watching the news, but I'm often at my computer writing late at night. So I'll see breaking news, or sometimes my producer Matt is up late and he'll send me breaking news. But somehow I just wasn't paying attention to that. And I slept in Sunday morning. So I got up, it was mid-morning. That's when I saw the news and began to process my own thoughts. So I got on my knees and I asked the Lord for wisdom and sensitivity to respond, because an utter tragedy, but one that was now going to have so many different dimensions to it. So I wrote an article. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org. You'll just see it as the latest article, Right and Wrong Reactions to the Tragic Nightclub in Orlando. And I made four basic points. Number one, our first response can only be shock, grief, and outrage. It doesn't matter if these people are at a gay club or in an office building, they're fellow human beings who are murdered in cold blood. Whether they were murdered in a straight bar, a sports stadium, or a park, they were murdered nonetheless and without any justification. That's the first point. The second point, we must take Muslim terrorism even more seriously without condemning all Muslims. Number three, we must renounce all rhetoric that leads to violence, but we shouldn't restrict freedom of speech or label every critical remark as hate speech. We're going to talk about these things more in depth in this next hour. And we have an obvious gun problem in America, but gun-free zones are not the solution, by which I say that there are types of weapons that are too easily accessible to too many people, including someone like this man who was investigated by the FBI and yet able after that, even after he had a known association with an ISIS member, he was able to get a gun. So something needs to be fixed in the system. But the firearms are the problem mentality is not the solution. That's my fourth point, and meant to be the fourth point, but I'm happy to talk about gun control issues. And the moment I saw this, I thought, it had to be a gun-free zone. I mean, obviously, because if it wasn't a gun-free zone, then somebody would have shot him earlier. The killer himself would have been killed along the way. The murderer would have been shot along the way if it had not been a gun-free zone. And that could well be specifically why it was targeted as well. But a lot to talk about. And we pray for the grace of God to flood hearts today and for hurting men and women to turn to Jesus, who is the one and only hope.
Fire we want, for fire we please, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Glad to be with you on this day that has many all over America reeling. Let me lay out quickly a few of the key things that need to be heard from my perspective at this moment. Somehow, in the midst of the pain and in the midst of gay and lesbian Americans feeling, many of them feeling very hostile to religion in general and feeling hostile to Christianity, believing somehow that Christians are complicit in this radical Islamic act of terror, it is important for us to remember that we do have the message of Jesus, and we do have the message of hope, and we do have the message of eternal life. It's also important to remember that this message will come under direct attack in the coming days. Here, just a sampling of some headlines here. Breitbart.com reports, NBC, quote, law enforcement expert blamed Orlando terror shooting on anti-gay white hate groups. That's before they had the information that this was a radical Muslim who swore allegiance to ISIS. By the way, his father, the father of the shooter, Omar Martin, says, no, this had nothing to do with religion. It's just he saw two men kissing each other and he was upset over that. It had nothing to do with religion. His father, from what I've read, is a supporter of the Taliban. And he's run for president of Afghanistan. And he's had his own words about homosexuals and homosexuality, according to what I've read. But here you have this alleged law enforcement expert. Maybe he is, but he was quite off the rails here. Hinted the shooter was probably a Christian and a member of a white hate group. I mean, you're going to hear this over and over and over. TheRightScoop.com reports CNN liberal equates Christians to gay murdering ISIS supporter. Why not? Let's just see here. At a gay website, I'm not going to cite it because it's got a lot of pretty hostile junk on it. LGBT groups react to Orlando massacre, and you read the comments there of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they say it's not surprising that the LGBT community was targeted. This community has long been vilified by those opposed to LGBT rights and is too often the target of violent hate crimes. You know where that's going. Southern Poverty Law Center already has been demonstrably guilty of targeting Christian groups or people like me, people like Ben Carson, and calling us haters or leaders of the radical right or things like that. You've got groups, gay activist groups like Lambda Legal. And they make it very, very clear here that this is an issue that is much broader than just the shooting. We will continue to stand up for the dignity and equality of every member of the communities we represent, to demand fair and effective responses from police and the criminal justice systems, to fight for laws that prohibit discrimination, not encourage or require it, and to expect public officials and leaders across the country to unite in justice. Well, we all stand for justice. All people of conscience repudiate the murderous acts 100%. The Christian response, if there, would have been to try to shield those who were being killed, to give our lives to save them. That would have been a Christian response. If unable to take down the shooter himself, then obviously that's what you would try to do, following the selfless example of the Son of God. But you know what Lambda Legal is thinking also, that it's Christian groups and those who oppose redefining marriage. We are part of the larger problem. The Friendly Atheist site, Hemant Mehta, he quotes American Family Association leader Brian Fisher, and he paraphrases to say, we don't want gay people dead, we want them cured. Brian had sent this message out on Twitter: Muslim massacre in Orlando, difference between Islam, Christianity, and homosexuality. On homosexuals, we want them helped, they want them dead. So somehow he finds that is slamming gay people in the process, which was obviously not Brian Fisher's intent. Here's an article from Canada that was sent to me by some of our grads there. And this is in, let's see, cbc.ca/news after. So it's CBC News after Orlando. Time to recognize that anti-gay bigotry is not religious freedom. From Neil McDonald. Will target at nightclub shooting begin in overdue conversations about religion's attitude towards gays? This is where it's going. This is where it is going. So in point of fact, of course, the shooter was praising Allah. He called 911 before the massacre to pledge his solidarity to ISIS. This has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the gospel. Absolutely. Listen, there are tens of millions of Christians and God knows how in America, and God knows how many of them have firearms. They're not going around shooting up gay bars. They're not. Listen, they're not going around shooting up abortion clinics. We've been involved in the pro-life work, conservative Christians in America, for decades now, and have been in front of abortion mills for decades, sharing the gospel and urging people that there's a better way and that there's hope. And every so often you've heard of an aberration where a fanatic goes and tries to hurt someone. But because we're pro-life, we don't do that. We don't do that. You're going to have crazies and fanatics in every group, be it an atheist, be it a professing Christian, be it a professing Muslim, be it a professing whoever. You can't be responsible for what every crazy and fanatic does, but you can be responsible for what the masses do. And the masses understand that when you follow Jesus, you don't go around shooting up people that you perceive to be sinners, people who are not living according to the Bible. You don't go doing that. You know, there is a story that's told in what's called the Testament of Abraham. So this is literature that goes back a couple thousand years. And in this one story, it's not accurate, but it's traditions, interesting traditions. One story, Abraham is caught up with an angel and begins to survey the world. And he sees a couple committing adultery. And he says to the angel, "My Lord, smite them," and they're killed. And then they go further, and he sees a man stealing. "My Lord, smite them," and they're killed. And then he sees someone else, whatever, worshiping an idol. And "My Lord, smite them," and they're killed. Suddenly a voice from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, you're killing my creation." In other words, if we were to play God and pronounce a death sentence and death penalty on every human being worthy of it, that's the end of the human race. That is the end of the human race. Do you understand? Do you understand that if that was to happen during the week and God was to judge us on the thoughts that we thought or the attitudes of our heart or the places where we fell short, where we sinned and fell short of his glory? Oh, no, not a man having sex with another man, but how about a man having lustful thoughts about a woman he's not married to? Or how about some pastor struggling with pornography the day before he preaches? Or how about some woman engaging in gossip? Or a man whose heart is filled with envy? I mean, these are all things that are deadly sins according to the Bible. How about pride? And on and on. If God started judging us on Monday and put to death everyone worthy of death and thought, word, or deed, come Sunday, our church services would be a whole lot less populated. So, friends, we need to be very, very careful. On the one hand, there is an all-out attack coming against our freedoms. Plan on it. Mark it down. Now, as much as I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, I believe if he was elected, there's a good chance that attack would lessen. And if Hillary Clinton was elected, it would worsen. I think that's the direction you could expect things to go. I don't look at Donald Trump as a Christian. I don't look at Donald Trump as reliable or trustworthy in what he says. But there's certain things he said consistently enough that I tend to expect that he would go in that direction, although who in the world ultimately knows. But let's just say these coming months before the change in elections or ongoing if Hillary Clinton is elected, you better believe there's going to be a chilling effect on our freedoms. And if we simply say, look, we love everybody, we love our neighbor, but we're not going to redefine marriage. No, we still don't feel that we should bake a cake and participate in a gay wedding because we don't recognize it as a wedding, but we lay down our lives to save that person. We're going to be branded haters all the more. So on the one hand, walk in love, demonstrate love, let Jesus shine through you like never before. On the other hand, speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Let the chips fall where they may. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Death is the sentence. I mean, not the sentence. There's nothing to be.
All right, we've just got a little problem with that clip that we were playing. This is Michael Brown. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. This was a Muslim scholar who was invited to speak at an Orlando area mosque just weeks ago. And he said that gay people should be exterminated out of, quote, compassion. So his name is Farouk, let's see, Sekeleshvar, not sure the pronunciation, British-born doctor, was invited to speak at the Husseini Islamic Center on March 29th. The Muslim scholar gave a controversial sermon at the University of Michigan in 2013, claiming that death is the sentence for homosexuality. All right, let's try it again. Let's listen to what he said.
Death is the sentence. I mean, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about this. Death is the sentence. Out of compassion, let's get rid of him now.
Yeah, we have to have that compassion for people. With homosexuals, it's the same. Out of compassion, let's get rid of them now. When he was asked about Sunday's deadly Orlando attack, he denounced the, quote, barbaric act. Quote, I'm totally against the barbaric act of violence that has happened. In no way at all can such a killing be justified Islamically. Well, that's a little hard to reconcile with. Out of compassion, let's get rid of them now, and death is the sentence. let's just go a little further here, all right? Joey, grab clips number 12 and 13. This was a gathering in the UK, and these Muslim speakers had hundreds of Muslims in the audience, and the Muslims identified as just normal Muslims. Now, we might call them radical or devout, but they simply identified as Muslims. So the Muslim leaders are speaking about these things and saying, hey, this is just normal Islam and death penalties and things like that. So let's begin with clip number 12.
Can we have this camera focusing on all the audience here? Every now and then, every time we have a conference, every time we invite a speaker, they always can come with the same accusations. This speaker supports death penalty for homosexuals. This speaker supports death penalty for this crime or this crime or that. He is homophobic. They subjugate women, etc., etc., etc. It's the same old stuff coming all the time. I always try to tell them that, look, it's not that speaker that we're inviting who has these extreme radical views, as you say. These are general views that every Muslim actually has. Every Muslim believes in these things. Just because they're not telling you about it, or just because they're not out there in the media, doesn't mean they don't believe in them.
Ah, so he's saying this is not just a select speaker. Now, they didn't say go into a gay club and start murdering people, but that, yes, under Islam, the penalty for homosexual practice is death. Yes, They said, that's what we teach and believe, and this is normal Islam. Clip number 13, they continue.
So I will ask you, everyone in the room, how many of you are normal Muslims? You're not extremist, you're not radical, just normal Sunni Muslims. Please raise your hands. Everybody, mashallah. Okay, take down your hands again. How many of you agree that the punishments described in the Quran and the Sunnah, whether it is death, whether it is stoning for adultery, whatever it is, if it is from Allah and His Messenger, that is the best punishment ever possible for humankind. And that is what we should apply in the world. Who agrees with that? Allahu Akbar. Are you all radical extremists? So all of you are saying that you are common Muslims. You all go to the different masajids in Norway. Or are you like a specific sect, like the IslamNet sect or anything like that? Are you like that? No. Are you like that? Please raise your hand if you're like this extreme IslamNet sect or anything like that. No one. Allahu Akbar. How many of you just go to these normal masajids in Norway, the normal Sunni mosques? Please raise your hands. So what's the politicians gonna say now? What is the media gonna say now? That we're all extremists? We're all radicals? We need to deport all of us from this country?
So what he's saying is that normative Islam is what most of us call radical or extremist Islam. That normative Islam affirms Sharia law. Now, there's a meme that we put up on our Facebook page. And here's what I say. If you're a Muslim and you disagree with this, by all means, tell us why. It's a picture of the murderer, and he's got the Quran and Islamic tradition books in front of him. Gays should be stoned, quote from the Quran. If two men are guilty of lewdness, punish them both, quote from the Quran. If a man who is not married is seized committing sodomy, he'll be stoned to death, Islamic tradition. The Prophet cursed effeminate men, Islamic tradition. Whoever is found acting in the manner of the people of Lot, kill the doer and the receiver. So that would be not just the incestuous act of Lot, but the people of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, Islamic tradition. May Allah curse him who does what Lot's people did. Again, Islamic tradition about Sodom and Gomorrah. So Islam has been consistent on this. Now, Judaism and Christianity through the centuries have been consistent on homosexual practice being sinful, but have never advocated acts of violence, and Judaism has not had a death penalty for that for centuries. You can look at the New Testament and find nothing in support of a death penalty for adultery or a death penalty for Sabbath observance, breaking the Sabbath, or a death penalty for homosexual practice, or a death penalty for witchcraft, or a death penalty for a number of other sins that were punishable by death in the Old Testament. So the idea that there's any possible way that you could go from the Christian Bible to acts of violence against, be it adulterers or gays or Sabbath breakers or any number of other people, there's no possible way that you can draw a line from the one to the other, nor can you get fuel for your hatred, your fires of hatred. So this is a critical time as Americans are reeling and as the gay and lesbian community is not only hurting, but folks must be looking over their shoulders now. This is a time to reach out and build relationships. This is a time to say, look, I may be the last person you want to hear from, but I do care about you. I've always cared about you. The fact that I don't believe that marriage is the union of two men or two women doesn't mean I don't care about you. And you're in pain right now, and I know someone who can heal that pain and who can give you a hope and life beyond anything you've known, and his name is Jesus. Don't shy back from that. Pray, and as the Lord opens doors, reach out.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You talk about the ideology. We can't change the ideology. We can take out some bad guys, but we can't change their
mindset.
That's
an argument. Yeah, that's an argument that said you can't fight Nazism. You can't fight communism. Of course you can. And when these people are using their ideology to attack us, the response is very clear, except to the President of the United States.
Well, if we can't change that ideology and mindset, you suggest that we can. I certainly hope, you know, hope that we can. I'm just not sure how we go about doing that.
Politically and militarily. First, you have to understand
and believe.
But that
sounds like hearts and minds. Is it hearts and minds?
No, it's no, look, first you have to believe there is an ideology. The President doesn't believe that. He believes these are isolated acts. It's a low-grade infection that will continue for a long time.
Yeah, that is former UN Ambassador John Bolton, and he has been outspoken on this. Yes, this is an ideology we're dealing with. Yes, it is murderous, radical Islam, and it must be mentioned by name. Donald Trump has now called on the president to resign and for Hillary Clinton to drop out for refusing to name this. A Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, radically left in so many ways, he's joined in the chorus of not saying Islamic terror. He says, I'm deeply shocked and saddened to learn today of so many people have been killed and injured following a mass shooting in Orlando, Florida. But he goes on without at any point mentioning radical Islam or Islamic terror. And yet it's pointed out in this article by Harry Kachatrian on DailyWire.com that Trudeau's liberal government is currently spearheading an effort to strengthen ties with the Iranian Islamic regime that publicly executes homosexuals. And listen to what Hillary Clinton had to say as we continue to talk about this national tragedy. Listen to me. For every Christian who says, look, it's a gay club, they were sinning, what they're doing is vile in God's sight. Oh, there are people hanging out, I'm sure partying, I'm sure getting high, I'm sure some sexual stuff taking place like what happened at other clubs. I imagine, good educated guess, because as I said in an earlier part of the broadcast, before many of you were able to tune in, that I got saved at the age of 16. So I was a heroin shooting hippie rock drummer, went to rock concerts, but was never part of the club scene because that you had to be older to get in the clubs. So I never knew what happened in any clubs, be it heterosexual clubs or strip clubs or gay clubs or whatever. But it does not matter that these people were in a gay club. They were fellow Americans. They were family members. They were friends. They were co-workers who were murdered in cold blood. And remember, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and all of us outside of God's grace are worthy of death one way or another for disobeying God and breaking his commandments. So if you stand by mercy, don't go pointing a legalistic finger at others and say, oh, well, they got what they deserve. Oh, they got what they deserve. Dangerous, dangerous attitude to have at a time like this. You know what? The Hillary Clinton clip is a bit long. I'll play that on the other side of the break. But CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, pulled together leaders of Muslim groups to condemn the Orlando terrorist and tie their sympathies to the LGBT community. Joey, grab clip number 6 and listen to what CARE had to say. I'll respond on the other side of the break.
You do not speak for us. You do not represent us. You are an aberration. You are an outlaw, or as we call it in Islam, they are khawarij, they are outlaws. They don't speak for our faith. They never belong to this beautiful faith. They claim to, but the 1.7 billion people are united in rejecting their extremism, their interpretation, and their acts and senseless violence.
Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. I want to really strongly encourage you to listen to an earlier part of the broadcast where I sat with Tammy Shea. Tammy now very, very happily married to the point of tears to a student in our School of Ministry, Andrew, and shared her testimony, how she got caught up in lesbian lifestyle. I mean, she went from heterosexual to thinking she was bisexual to being convinced she was a lesbian to being a heavy drug user and drug dealer and then radically, dramatically saved. But she used to hang out at the very gay nightclub, and her group even performed there. She used to hang out in that very club and was there two or three nights a week before the Lord brought her to himself. A very, very powerful, stirring, moving interview that I believe will bring hope and life and insight and compassion to many. You can listen to it by going to AskDrBrown.org. Just a little later today, a couple hours after the broadcast, our team is very quick to get this up online. Just click on Line of Fire on our website, AskDrBrown.org. You'll be able to listen to that broadcast, and it was in the second half hour of our two-hour show. Also, I immediately wrote an article yesterday. I've got a couple more, I feel, to follow up with. But one of them, the initial article I wrote immediately after hearing news of the massacre, is called Right and Wrong Reactions to the Tragic Nightclub Massacre in Orlando. You can read that by going to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just clicking on, well, you'll see it right on the homepage, the latest article, Right and Wrong Reactions to the Tragic Nightclub Massacre in Orlando. Let me come back to that statement I played right before the break, but from Muslim leaders, the Council of American Islamic Relations. And let me say first, if we're going to call on Muslim leaders to renounce Islamic acts of terror, and they do it, then you have to appreciate that. You have to be positive on it. You have to say, okay, look, don't say, well, where are all the Islamic leaders? Where are all the Islamic leaders who are renouncing these acts of terror? And now they bring a group together and they renounce them. Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you said that you renounce this utterly and completely. That's positive. My problem is that you did not acknowledge that this is absolutely, that the death penalty for homosexual practice is taught in Islam, and that the more devoutly Islam the country is, the more they would advocate that. And to say, you know, 1.6 billion Muslims agree that this is wrong, well, that's not true. There are radical groups like ISIS and others that rejoice in this kind of thing happening, especially during the month of Ramadan, as you see an increase in violence. So I'm glad they made the statement. I'm glad they made the statement. But then they're going to say, well, Islamophobia and homophobia are both similar parts of the problem. No. No, this is now where there's rhetoric being used to try to paint Muslims as victims in the same way as those shot and killed in the gay nightclub. And that's downright misleading. Well, Hillary Clinton, here, just standard stuff comes my way. You gentlemen are part of the problem of the discrimination and hate directed toward gay and transgendered. We're going to hear that day and night because of our Christian views, because we don't embrace Bruce Jenner as Woman of the Year. Because we say that the Supreme Court ruled wrongly to redefine marriage, we're going to be called part of the problem. How do we refute that? By just living as Christians. Real simple. People are going to lie about us. Liars are going to lie. People who misunderstand are going to misunderstand. People who misrepresent sincerely are going to misrepresent. That's going to happen. And towards us, haters are going to hate. What do? We don't change our message. We don't change our lifestyle. We just live consistently. We speak the truth in love. We demonstrate love for those we differ with. We demonstrate love. Look, I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. That means I believe Jews without Jesus are lost. The Jewish community doesn't take kindly to that. They don't appreciate that. What do? I continue to preach Jesus and walk in love. Atheists, I believe, are lost without God. They don't appreciate that. What do? I continue to preach what I preach and walk in love. I believe homosexual practice is wrong in God's sight. What do? I'm going to preach that. I'm going to walk in love. And we will overcome evil with good. We will overcome hatred with love. And people will be one to the Lord. And others will hate us all the more. All right. So Hillary Clinton, she's been challenged by Donald Trump. And he said that she should drop out because she won't say Islamic terror. And that President Obama should resign because he won't say these words. So let's listen to what Hillary Clinton had to say. Clip number 7.
Donald Trump in particular called you out, singled you out, as well as President Obama, for not using a certain term to describe these acts, the term radical Islam. The question is, why not? Why wouldn't you describe it that way? I guess the criticism on his part is that you're exalting niceties or political correctness over just calling something what it is, a vicious, vicious distortion of Islam.
Well, look, I think Trump, as usual, is obsessed with name-calling. And from my perspective, it matters what we do, not what we say. It mattered that we got bin Laden, not what name we called him. But if he is somehow suggesting I don't call this for what it is, he hasn't been listening. I have clearly said that we face terrorist enemies who use Islam to justify slaughtering innocent people. We have to stop them, and we will. We have to defeat radical jihadist terrorism, and we will. And to me, radical jihadism, radical Islamism, I think they mean the same thing. I'm happy to say either, but that's not the point. All this talk and, you know, demagoguery and, you know, rhetoric is not going to solve the problem. I'm not going to demonize and demagogue and declare war on an entire religion. That's just plain dangerous, and it plays into ISIS's hand.
Let's just say that people could tear that apart. I want to say that's a step in the right direction to actually say the words radical Islamic terror or jihadism or the terms that are used. But to say it, you don't have to name it. You go after the people. We got bin Laden. Didn't matter what we called him. Look, we're not just talking about shooting somebody or bombing someone. We're not just talking about a drone taking out an Islamic leader somewhere. We are talking about recognizing the ideology behind the attack. And here's what's important to remember. Here's what's important to remember. What ISIS did yesterday, assuming that it is correct, is they're taking credit for it. And as the murderer attributed allegiance to ISIS before his acts, in his 9/11 call, as I understand the events. Make no mistake about it. This was an attack on all Americans. Make no mistake about it. This was an attack on all Americans. Clip number 14, there had been some announcements a few days before the massacre that ISIS had released a hit list naming 8,000 Americans that they were on their hit list to attack, and that they were going to launch attacks in the month of June. And they had 600 on that list in Florida. Now, the list has not been made public, but this, some say that this very attack was being hinted at or pointed to already. And others said, we told you an attack was coming to Florida. So just listen to this, clip 14.
More than 600 people targeted live right here in Florida.
Well, the alarming thing about this threat is that it involves civilians, many of whom are not prepared to protect themselves.
United Cyber Caliphate that hacked U.S. Central Command, 54,000 Twitter accounts, and threatened President Barack Obama is the same pro-ISIS group that's reportedly created a kill list with the names, addresses, and emails of thousands of Americans. Reports of the list coming to light online. Vocative reporting, it was shared via the encrypted app Telegram, calling on supporters to kill.
Yeah, so the whole idea that this murderer was, quote, lone wolf, well, what if you have a pack of 1,000 lone wolves across the country? And it's not so much lone wolf anymore, is it? Or what if one coordinating group is sending messages to the various lone wolves who don't even know each other? To what extent are they lone wolves? You say, Mike, that scares me. Listen. People are dying every single day in car wrecks. People are dying in freak accidents every single day. People woke up one morning with no intention of dying that day and didn't live out the day. This is a good time to really know the Lord and be secure in Him. Live with wisdom, but be secure in Him, because He's our ultimate defense against the devices of the devil.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me take these closing minutes to address several different issues, and just share my heart with you. I'm so blessed that so many of you tune in and listen to get clarity, to get equipped, to sort out your own thinking. And to whatever extent I can be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, I'm truly blessed to be able to articulate things that are dear to your heart as well with the platform the Lord has given me. So first, to those who identify with the LGBT community, that's either who you are, that's the community you deeply identify with, I want to say in the loudest possible terms that the attack against you was an attack against all Americans, that the attack against you must be repudiated by every human being of conscience, that there's no possible religious or spiritual justification for this act, period, and it must be utterly renounced. And any so-called pastor or Christian leader who celebrates this does not know the Lord. Any so-called Christian leader who exalts this as a positive thing does not know the Lord and does not speak for Jesus. That's the first thing. And as much as you may find it hard to think that we have a message of hope for you in the midst of hopelessness and a message of life in the midst of the pain, it is true. Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. And through Him, there's a forgiveness, there's an acceptance, there's a freedom, there's a new life that words cannot describe. And I urge you, wherever you find yourself, call out to Jesus. He says, that mean I can't be gay anymore? Any one of us who want to follow Jesus, He says, deny yourself, take up the cross. So say, God, I unconditionally give you the whole of my life, trusting that you will do what's best with me and for me, and you'll never be disappointed if you do. Secondly, let me speak to all Christians, followers of Jesus that are listening. If you truly know the Lord, let me speak to you for a moment. And some of you say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm in the gay and lesbian community. We'll let each of these things sort themselves out, okay? All of you know where I stand on these issues. But if you identify as a follower of Jesus, you've given your life to Him, hear me. There is pressure coming against us that will increase, saying that we created a toxic environment for these murders, saying that we are responsible, we are complicit. I'm hearing that constantly. Shame on you. You are to blame. I mean, I knew it was coming. The moment I saw the news, you don't have to be a prophet to know this is coming immediately. So somebody posts this on my Facebook page. Where is it? Let's see here. I blame you and people like you for the tragedy in Orlando as of now 50 people are dead, 53 injured, including at least one police officer due to homophobia. And you and your ilk spreading your messages of hate daily directly contributed to senseless tragedies like this. Shame on you. I responded, you're attacking the wrong person. I get death threats and death wishes on a regular basis from the LGBT community, but I will continue to preach the love of God. I'm going to be unswerving in a message that says, we love everyone. We love our neighbors, ourselves. We give our lives to meet the needs of those who don't know the Lord, and we stand for biblical morality. You can follow that message for a million years, and you will never pick up a gun to kill a homosexual, or pick up a gun to kill a Sabbath breaker, or pick up a gun to kill an adulterer, or pick up a gun to kill someone that's not part of your religious clique. Never in a trillion lifetimes would you do that if you rightly heard that message. So let us speak the truth and love. But trust me, opposition is coming. And this is why we need to, by all means, look carefully at our tone. Look carefully at the content of our words and make sure nothing can be misconstrued. Do our best to communicate with clarity so that nothing could be misconstrued by unstable people or by hateful people who will seek to misuse our words for their own ugly purposes. And then to all who identify as Muslims, look at your traditions and ask yourselves, what do you believe? Ask yourselves, is this something that you stand for? And if you recognize it's not, then work with American law enforcement. Work with the government to expose and uproot terror. Let CARE and these other groups be thoroughly investigated. Let them make clear that under no circumstances do they aid or abet any Muslim who holds to any ideology like this. And by the way, that's going to narrow their world greatly. Yet let there be some inconvenience for American Muslims to help us uproot Islamic terror, because Islamic terror is real. And Islamic terror is not just located in a couple of people here and there. It is widespread. And there are many who hate Americans and hate the West and hate Christians and hate homosexuals and hate others that are living right in our country, just waiting for the green light or the open door to carry out their murderous acts. So Muslims in America, no, it's not a matter of deporting all Muslims or saying no Muslims coming to our country. It's a matter of strengthening our law enforcement. It's a matter of taking this much more seriously. And to the extent that the reports that I've read, that the reason that this guy got through the FBI was because the FBI has been so gutted that different Muslim groups came to the Obama administration and said, you can't use these terms and these terms and these terms in your training manual. So they just gutted all these things. Otherwise, many, many more people could have been spotted beforehand, and terror could have been stopped. And hadn't we been warned about Russia, about the Boston Marathon brothers, the bombers there? Hadn't we been warned about them? And we didn't pay sufficient attention, according to what I've read. So, America, get with it. Get with it. We need to get away from this fear of offending Muslims without demonizing all Muslims. There is a good middle ground. And then, lastly, the issue of guns. Here's my big question. How do we have a system where someone who twice was investigated by the FBI could go out and legally buy guns? Someone, from what I've read, who had a known connection to someone in ISIS, how he could go and legally get firearms. There is a way to protect our Second Amendment rights without going the way of gun-free zones. And naturally, this massacre took place in a gun-free zone. Okay? There must be a way that different sides could sit together without politicizing this, because we're talking about human lives, and say, what's wrong with our system and what can we do to improve on it without threatening our Second Amendment rights? Those are my thoughts. My latest article at AskDrBrown.org, Right and Wrong Reactions to the Orlando Massacre. I have at least two more articles on my heart to write about these issues, so be looking for them. If you're not connected with us on Facebook, it's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Twitter, it's Dr. That's Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. And we notify you as soon as the articles are out. But just visit the website daily, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, for latest video and article. My bottom line today, may our hearts be broken for this great tragedy. May God turn America back to himself.